What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of The Jump. What a day of college basketball. One of the best so far this year. We've had a couple of days that we've been blessed with, but today has a chance to rank among the best of them. Sadly, one of them that I was really, really looking forward to ended up in a blowout. But overall, a good day of hoops. I'll talk about the blowout game first to kind of get it out of the way. But talk about it because it's two of the most important teams in the country at this point of the season. Purdue Boilermakers hosting the Iowa State Cyclones. Number 10 going to number 1 in Mackey Arena. Credit to TJ Altenberger and his staff and everything for getting that lined up to go on the road, non-con, and play in Mackey because it's one of the hardest places to play in all of college basketball. But boy, did they make it seem like it's not. I mean, it wasn't start to finish. I think it was a 4-point game at half. They controlled the pace of it for I'd say 95%. Taman Lipsey truly outplayed Braden Smith. And I never thought I would say any blank outplayed Braden Smith. Braden Smith's best guard in the country. But today, Taman Lipsey, welcome back. 9 points. 5 rebounds, 8 assists. He was incredible. With him at that level and with Joshua Jefferson and Milan Momcilovic doing what they were doing, unbelievable. And Momcilovic, for him, with how he's hitting right now, he's completely unguardable. Completely unguardable. He had 20 points, 3 for 7 from three, but hit some like daggers. Blake Buchanan played well, Joshua Jefferson. Like, this is the point of where you can see Iowa State scoring 81 and holding Purdue to 58. One of the best defenses in the entire country, but they can also do it offensively. They can fill it up. So this team is unbelievable. And some of the stats that came from the game are the crazy part of it. Via ESPN research, Purdue's 23-point loss today is the largest non-conference home loss by a number one team in AP poll history. It is also tied for the largest home loss ever by a number one team. No eventual national champion has ever lost at home by more than 18 since the 1996-1997 season. Now, Purdue, from their side of things, the main takeaway is Trey Kupfer-Wren and Fletcher Warrior, the guys that have been there for that long, they can't be that bad. There's no way. Braden Smith, he was fine. 6 turnovers. In a nutshell, that day was if you look at the Braden Smith behind the back pass there at the end, that always connects. That did not. And then, I mean, for Iowa State, they were hitting everything. Like, I don't know what they ended up shooting. But at some point, they were shooting 54% from the field, 48 from three. It was just one of those days. Guys missing free throws for Purdue. Like, it was just that type of day in a nutshell. And, Trey Kupfer-Wren and Fletcher Lurie just have to be better. They combined for 9 points. And 9 rebounds and 7 assists total. That should be each of them doing that. They were just bad. I never thought I'd see Trey Kupfer-Wren or Fletcher Warrior, which Fletcher's been inconsistent. I just never thought I'd see TKR at this point in this season being that bad. But he was. Iowa State boarded well compared to like what they're going up against with Jacobson coming off the bench, with Oscar Clough, with the size that Purdue has. Being able to go in there, and they only lost the rebound battle by one. Iowa State's elite, man. Like, and I don't need to be the one to tell you, because they're going to jump this week in the poll. It's deserved. I mean, this group right here, special. And it could be TJ's best. And obviously, the longer he goes on, and the more guys stay in the program and everything, like, obviously it'll grow, and chemistry and everything will grow. But like this right here, 81-58 victory, that's dominant. So big time road win in Mackey. Mackey was still rocking as always, but it got to one point that it was too much. Like, yeah, I think, okay, so at half, it was 35-31, Iowa State. And they just never looked back. When they went up 20 plus, and it was just never even close again. So, what a victory for Iowa State. Big hats off to them. The other game that was going on at the exact same time that I was very, very, very excited about was Duke traveling to East Lansing, going to Michigan State, going to the Breslin Center. So once again, credit to them doing these on campus things. They are unbelievable. And this one, well, it started a little rough. I was like, oh, this might be a bad omen for Duke, because whenever they popped up on Fox, the graphic, for some reason, C.J. Cox is listed where Isaiah Evans is. And I was like, I don't think that's Isaiah Evans. But that was about the worst thing that happened to Duke for a lot of this game. I mean, Duke played really well. They weathered the storm. And Michigan State was, I mean, they were in it for a while. And they even took the lead late. But, Duke, the whole time it felt like it was never too far from their grasp of being able to have their own run to take it over. So, and a part of why Michigan State would get their lead is because it was elite on their end. So I'm not saying this is like a national championship preview, but it might be, because Duke just won the best game in college basketball this year. Outside of, ironically happening at the same time, the Iowa State win. Those two are the best wins in the country, and Duke doing this, where you truly feel watching it, Duke, this is never out of reach. I never thought, there's no way Michigan State's just going to have Duke lay down right here. They will continue to do their thing. And it took a long time for Cam Boozer to get rolling, but he got rolling. He had 2 points at halftime, 16 points in the second half. They did a lot more offensively just to get him the ball and create opportunities for him. So that was a great adjustment by Shire and everybody around him. But he had 18 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Kid is unbelievable. He is absolutely unbelievable. And this is one I was very interested in, because I was like, yeah, he's probably leading for National Player of the Year and everything. Yes, he's a special player. He's spectacular. But now he's going up against one of the best front courts in the entire country in Michigan State. How does he respond? And he responds as well as you can, at least in one half. What a night. What a night for him. And even, it's not even just the scoring. The 5 assists, one of those was the dagger. One of them was to Caleb Foster, who at this point is I guess he just hates Michigan State green. He just hates the Spartans. Because the first game I ever watched of him, I guess it was his freshman year, so the Champs Classic, he was the one doing all the hurting to Michigan State that year. And then you get to this point, and he hits the dagger. I think it made it 65-60 or so. I don't remember what it was, but Cam Boozer, he goes in, attracts the double team, pulling Caleb's man off of him, turns and knows exactly where Caleb is, hits him, shooter's pocket, buckets. That was it. I mean, it was beautiful. This team is special. I mean, they are off to a historic start, I would say. Their resume is unbelievable at this point. They started out with Texas, W. They have played Kansas, 12-point victory. Arkansas, 1-9. Florida, beat them. At Michigan State, beat them. They have one more test before they get into conference play against Texas Tech in MSG on the 20th. And if they don't lose that one, we might be playing the game of when does Duke lose. They have an at Louisville game on January 6th. At North Carolina, maybe. They are legitimately, I forgot they play Michigan. This is the one this year that they play. That game's going to be absolutely unbelievable. That one's going to be awesome. I think that's in D.C. Yeah, Capital One Arena. That's going to be a phenomenal game. Both undefeated already as of right now. But Duke's resume is just unbelievable. I mean, scheduling this was crazy. And then being able to do this against it, be 10-0, 2-0 on the road, and winning neutral site games and everything. It's crazy where the Blue Devils are at I consider it just a super young team, because even the guys that came back, they still didn't play a whole lot. That group last year, the core guys, they all left. So it's kind of a new group entirely, and they look absolutely unbelievable. So big time win once again for Duke, 66-60 in the Breslin Center. Louisville and Indiana. In Indianapolis and Gambridge Fieldhouse, number 6 Louisville, number 22 Indiana, 87-78 victory in a game where Louisville put the foot on the throat and never looked back, really. Indiana tried their absolute best to make things close throughout, but it was essentially over. It was 16-0 at the beginning. Louisville could do no wrong. And then, I mean, it was just over. Like I said, IU put up some fight, primarily, it sounded like on the broadcast, at least, like an IU crowd, because when they would make those little pushes and little runs and stuff, like, you would hear that crowd get loud. And obviously, it's in Indiana, but Louisville's not super far from Indianapolis. So Tucker DeVries, Lamar Wilkerson, that's the two bucket getters. Those two, if they're not doing it at an efficient pace, that team's in trouble. Tucker, 4-for-11 from 3, 5-for-14 overall. Lamar, 2-for-9, 5-for-15 from the field. Those guys, I mean, they've got to score. They've got to be the ones, but, like, they need help from somewhere else, or they're going to have to do it efficiently or something. Like, Dorn off the bench, like, he put up some points, but, like, Tayton Conaway's got to put up more than 5. And it's, I mean, maybe there's going to be nights where he's just dishing assists, but he had one assist to 5 turnovers. That's never going to, if that's your point guard, you're never going to be okay in these games. Reed Bailey was overwhelmed, which is, I mean, impressive, because Louisville, their front court is the difference. The front court is the difference between a second-round exit or a Final Four team. Sananda Frew and Ali Khalifa both played well. Ali Khalifa checked in. I mean, he got a shot of 3 right away. He had his passing as usual, but he also had a couple possessions defensively where I was impressed, and that's been the one thing, like, he's never been able to defend, but he goes out there and defends. Sananda Frew, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 steals and a block for him. So the bigs, if they can do that, that puts this team on another level. Now, maybe they overall should maybe be able to stop them more, but I use a good team. Like, when they're rolling, they'll beat some good teams. Like, that IU team's not one to like blow past or whatever. But yeah, Louisville's legit. Like, they and the front court is what separates everything for them. Like, now, like, the Arkansas loss at the time, I was like, ah, well, man, like, I don't know how good Arkansas is. Mainly because Arkansas played like a close game against like Samford or something. I don't remember who it was, but I mean, that game now, I know Arkansas kind of dominated start to finish with that one, but Arkansas's resume looks really good now. So maybe that's a lot. Maybe it's not a bad loss. I don't really know. But if you're Louisville, I mean, all eyes are ahead, and you've got a big one coming up against a team that I'll talk about here in a minute. Yeah, you'll play Memphis, and then you'll be at Tennessee, which that one's not going to be easy. But, you know, we'll see what they can do. And then ACC play. I mean, the conference is much better, but that the bottom of the conference is, you'll stack up wins and everything. So, but big win for Louisville, and it's not a rivalry. I wouldn't say. I know these fan bases don't like each other, but it's not like quite what Louisville Kentucky is or IU Kentucky. Like, but they're like stepbrothers that don't really enjoy each other's presence, I would say. But big time win for the Cards. Illinois and Tennessee. I just mentioned Tennessee. They'll be matching up soon with Louisville. But the Music City Madness, which at the end of this, I need to take note to make sure I talk about my Kentucky Wildcats, because I don't want to make it look like I'm ducking that whole situation. But Illinois goes and essentially beats Tennessee at home, because it's in Nashville, but Illinois traveled. They traveled very, very well. That crowd was loud. But going to Tennessee, going to Nashville, I mean, not super far from Knoxville, like, a lot of Tennessee and just an overdosing of orange. And that's what, I mean, Tennessee played Syracuse early in the week. Like, this week is just an overabundance of orange. But I want to talk about a few different players. So, first of all, shout out Ben Hummerkaus. Because he had the rebound at the end, but not even only that. This was the best game I think he's played for Illinois, and he does all the little things. So shout out to Ben. Like, he only ended up with 2 points, 5 rebounds, but he had 2 steals, 3 blocks. Defensively, what he can do without even having to score the ball, which I thought he was going to be needing to be more of like a scorer, but what he can do without that is very, very special. So shout out to him first. And then secondly, Kylan Boswell is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. He's almost hard to take out at times. 36 minutes, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. But it's not only that, it's defensively, he just shuts things down. Like, and he'll shut down a team, but he'll also dictate how the game goes. Like, at times, when they needed a bucket, he'd go get one. This was a very, very good game. It ended up 75-62, but it was very, very good overall. Kylan Boswell was special. And they're towards that last stretch where they're pulling away and they're getting a paint touch to a kick out and Big Z's hitting threes and all that stuff. Really, the only flaw there late is that Andrej Stojakovic misses a dunk. Like, that was really the only flaw. And then he goes over and hugs coach and everything. And so it ended up being a funny moment. But, like, that's literally the only flaw that you could find there at the end. Like, down the stretch, they dominated. Their bigs are hitting. The Ivicic brothers are doing their thing. And, yeah, what a night. What a night for them. But on the other side of things, Tennessee's got a problem right now. I don't know if they have just, like, played too much recently. I know they just came back from Vegas and everything. But Nate Emmitt and Jacoby Gillespie have been terrible recently. Like, they had the Rutgers game. That one was awesome where they just go out there and dominate a bad team, whatever. Nate Emmitt, 9 points, 4 for 14 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3. Jacoby Gillespie, 15 points, 6 for 20 from the field, 3 for 9 from 3. That's just not going to cut it. I mean, those two have to be the ones to always get the most shots up. And those two are the ones that, I mean, to put it blunt, you paid the most money for, and you're not getting your return on investment. Like, you should be winning some of these games, and you should be able to close that Kansas game and things like that with these two. Now, Nate Emmitt, early on, he was one of the best freshmen, which is hard to say, like, because, I mean, that the freshman class is unbelievable. At this point, though, he's got to just figure something out. Him and Jacoby Gillespie, like I said, I don't know if they're just, like, worn out and they're just dog-tired from playing a ton. But offensively, I mean, Jalen Carey's had good games, but that's because he's just a bruiser. He'll get his own, get boards and go up with it and finish that way. But, like, it's just, I mean, those two are the offensive guys. That's the offensive, like, similar to how it was, like, Chaz Lanier last year. And then it's Dalton Connect 2 years ago. Like, but they've got two of them this year. I mean, you've got to be able to win these games. And on the glass, they out-rebounded Illinois 46-31. And I mean, Illinois shot well, but, like, it wasn't well enough that, like, you should be able to win this game. 30% from three, 37% from the field. Illinois gave them nothing easy, so credit to Illinois. But Tennessee's got to win some of these games. Like, you have these matchups. They have that Louisville one coming up soon. They're going to need to win that or it may not get ugly. I mean, Rick Barnes is a great coach. He'll figure it out. But you got to start winning a couple of these. I know they've won a couple already, but, like, losing to Syracuse, losing to Illinois now. You got to win that Louisville game coming up. This one was on as the Big Ten Championship was wrapping up and everything. Auburn at Arizona, and there was also Ole Miss at St. John's. On at the same time. I think it's Tennessee, Illinois. It's all running together. Today was one of the best college sports days, like, ever. So it's all just mixed in my head now. But Auburn, number 20, goes on the road to number 2 Arizona, and takes an early lead. They go up 15-10, and it ends up being 97-68, and that basically tells the story. Right before half, there was a run where I want to say it was just a quick 10-0 or something. It was like something very, very quick. Arizona just takes the lead, and they never looked back. They led by 20-plus the entire time. From that point on, Tahad Pettiford ended up having a pretty good night. Early on, he took some of the worst shots I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was, like, ball in the wing, should move it, get into an offense or something, shoots that. He's falling to the ground and throws up something backwards, like, he was getting himself in horrible situations, taking bad shots early, but he figures it out and finishes with 30. Like, it's going to be him or Keyshawn every single night, and it was his night. Now, I don't know if there's ever – I don't know if there's, like, any beef or anything, but the fact that Stephen Pearl had to go out and stop Keyshawn Hall and Todd Pettiford, and that happens a lot, but, like, it just felt like throughout the game, like, even – before that and after that, like, there's just, like, these little things where you notice and you're like, I don't know if something's going on there. But hopefully not, because they're two special players. And You want to see them succeed and everything, but yeah, it was just tough. But Auburn, they just kind of got suffocated. This Arizona team is, I mean, I think they're the best team in college basketball, and they will be number one when the next poll comes out. But they just, Arizona's unbelievable. There's nothing they're bad at. I just think it's them or Duke. And for Arizona, the emergence of Braden Berries, if he's able to start hitting threes, he's able to score the ball already. If he can start hitting some of these threes and stuff like that, that elevates his team to a whole nother level. They have Kopeet and Jaden Bradley. That's the core of why I think they are the best team in the country. They have one of the best guards in the entire country and one of the best forwards in the entire country. But that matchup right there, that you're going to win a whole lot of ball games just because of those two alone. But then what you have outside of them, where Toby Awaka will come off the bench and Delorso will come off the bench, and like, they'll put up great minutes. And Arizona's just depth is unbelievable. And 97-68 victory in a game that was, yeah, I mean, right before half, there was that run and they just kind of never looked back, and that was about it. But Auburn will be fine, though. Like, this is a very, very tough place to play. Going to McHale, don't win too many games there. Very, very difficult. Tucson's always rocking. So, big time win, though. I mean, Arizona, just to be able to dominate a team like this and not really play around and mess with it, it's good stuff. Ole Miss and St. John's, what an ugly game, I think is the correct word that I should use. 20 turnovers each. They both ended up with 20 even. This game, St. John's should have closed and won by 15 plus. They allow Ole Miss to come back, being able to get points off turnovers and score a ton in the paint. And outside of Zuby, it felt like nobody else really cared too much about, finishing the right way and just kind of taking care of business. It felt like they kind of got the lead and they got lackadaisical and stuff. But Zuby's out there. I mean, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 8 blocks. Kid's unbelievable. He was awesome all night. And then outside of that, it was really just a full squad effort to get that lead. I don't know what it got up to, but they were dominating. And then they end up blowing that. So they led by 13. They led by a lot in the first half, I think. They'd gotten up pretty comfortable. But they led start to finish. So, you can't really blame them too much. But it got shaky there towards the end, though. I think he got cut to 3 a couple times, but Chris Beard's a great coach, so Ole Miss, them being able to go up there and fight is very, very promising, but at some point you got to win these games. They've lost to Iowa, Utah, Miami, and St. John's. It's 4 straight after a pretty good start, and now they'll play NC State here soon, and then they'll get into conference play, but they're going to have to get a couple of them. And, they're struggling right now. But between Storr, Camerdeen, like that, they'll figure it out. They'll win some games. And they're just going to – obviously, if you have 20 turnovers, either team, it's impressive that anybody's able to come out with a victory at this point. But, for St. John's, you obviously got to clean that up. And I think for them, it's promising that – where I've been very concerned with their defense as of late, they were able to hold this team to 58, where St. John's has given up, let me get some of their numbers pulled up. They've given up 103, 83, 81, 85. So holding a team to 58 and turning them over 20 times definitely gives you some hope going forward for St. John's and what you can be. But it was an ugly game, and that was about it. But a win's a win. You win in MSG, got to be happy with it. Houston beat Florida State 82-67. Kingston Flemings, that's the version that they need. Emmanuel Sharp played well, and it was just a great game, especially offensively. If you're putting up 82 against Florida State, you got to be pretty pleased with that. Michigan wins 101-60. They just continue to absolutely beat everybody's brains in. Washington makes a late push. I don't remember what the run ended up being, but they make a late push to beat USC for the first time in like 4 years. And Hynes Steinbach is the best player that people don't talk about in the entire country. He had 24-16 today with three assists and a steal on top of that. So he's unbelievable. And these guys, the ones that I think need to be the best players for Washington are, I mean, they're molding into that, and they play off of each other well with Hynes Steinbach, Desmond Claude, and Wesley Yates. That trio right there can go. They can flat out go. And so I think for some of these games, especially in the Big Ten throughout the year, they'll be fine if that trio can figure it out a little bit. So I think it was they trailed by 10 with 7 minutes left, 68-58, and then they end up winning 84-76. So they went on a big run there late, big time win for Washington. And like I said, I think it was like the first time in like 4 years for Washington beating USC and giving USC their first loss, because USC came back and beat Oregon the other night. So, big win. What a great day of hoops. Before I get out of here, I want to talk about the Music City Madness that took place last night. I don't want to act like I'm ducking this. I also coach basketball. We had a game. I was busy. That's why I wasn't going to film win or lose, because that slate wasn't great overall. So I didn't feel the need to jump on and make sure I talk about it. And then that game, man, that one, what would the final end up being? 94-59. In a game that started 19-2. The panic button for Kentucky was pressed against the North Carolina team. Losing a home game to North Carolina, that's panic button. This is like, do we need to have a meeting in the athletic department about Pope? Now, there's a whole lot of reasons. I think it all boils down to roster construction. Pope, I think, got almost overwhelmed with the opportunity to be able to go get players that he'd never had the chance to go get before, with the money and the resources and everything that UK brings. And so I think last year, where we lacked in athleticism and defense and everything, I think he went overboard on that, and even though he missed on some offensive guys, he still went and just got another one. And so this team just doesn't have the offensive capabilities to be able to be good. Now, they don't play with any effort, so that's a big problem too. There's like no effort, there's no heart, there's nothing in it. The defense was horrible, face cut. It was horrible in every sense of the word. And I just think that, sitting at 5-4, we're going to be unranked. It's a blessing and a curse that you play this schedule, because you still have opportunities, but you're running out of time. You have Indiana at home next Saturday, and then the following Saturday you'll have St. John's in Atlanta. You've got to go 2-0, or you're probably going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel just to make the tournament, and that's really, really bad. So, this team just overall, Jalen Lowe's back now, and so that's not really an excuse. Mohamed Diabate would have been good tonight. Jaden Quaintance, obviously, with him coming back, I don't know what his impact will end up being. I'm hoping that it's good enough to completely flip the script on this team and fix things, but I don't have a ton of hope in it. But, horrible, horrible loss. Biggest loss since, tied the biggest loss since, 1990 or something. So it's very unfamiliar territory. I know that there was the boos that kind of made its way around college basketball and stuff. So it was ugly. It was very, very ugly. And the boos were, you hate to boo kids, 18 to 22, 18 to 23 year olds, but they are getting paid millions on millions and millions of dollars. And those guys that go to that game, and that crowd was 95% Kentucky. So they are ticked because they all showed up and that place was electric and rocking with UK fans, desperate for a win, and that's what they get in return. So it's an ugly time right now, sitting at 5-4. I don't know where we pivot to, but got too soon nobody's waiting on you. It's just gonna, the schedule keeps rolling, and you got some big ones coming up. So ugly game. I'll probably talk more at some point about Kentucky and the state of it if other things happen and all that. But as of right now, just trying to get healthy and try to figure out how to win some games and scrape by with victories. But team can't shoot. Not great offense. Not a lot of heart. That's essentially the recap. And so that's the state of Kentucky. But I think that'll do it for this episode. I don't think I have anything else to mention before hopping off here. What a slate. What a day. If you're a college sports fan overall, you also had great college football on as well, which I posted a video about that recapping the day there. So thank you for tuning in. If you're new to the channel, welcome. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe for more college basketball content. I'll be back all the time, possibly tomorrow night, depending on the outcomes of those games. I think Darren Peterson might be playing versus Missouri, so that'll be a fun one. But thank you for tuning in. Have a great rest of your weekend. Hope you enjoyed the slate. Peace.